This morning, we're in our second sermon of a series called Out From Under. Life has a way of putting weight on us, of getting us down, of making us feel suffocated, discouraged. We want to be out from under these things. And the Bible is the place to go. It's where we find hope. It's where we find answers. And so I'm glad you're here this morning. This message is for me. I hope for many of you, if not all of you. You can see the insert if you'd like to take notes. 2 Timothy chapter 1, 1 through 10. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure it is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given you a spirit of timidity or fear, some translations, but God has given you a spirit of power and love and discipline or self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of your Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted as in Christ Jesus from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. When I was in college, starting to get my bachelor's degree in youth ministry, there was a gymnasium, a workout center next door. And I met a guy named Mark, and I wanted to work out. College is stressful, working out's good, right? And there was a racquetball court at this gymnasium, and Mark's like, hey, let's play me in racquetball. I'm like, I don't really know how to play racquetball. I'll teach you. It'll be fun. So week after week, I'd play Mark in racquetball. And week after week, Mark would destroy me. And he would say, hey, this is how you get better. You know, keep playing. This is how you get better. Well, he's like an intermediate player, and I barely know the rules. Well, week after week, Mark would destroy me. Finally, I lost interest. I wasn't getting any better. I wasn't even getting any better at losing. You know, it's interesting that memories like this are so easy to come back to us. You know, we remember by default those negative things in our life. I mean, this isn't a real bad negative thing. It's just a small one. But still, it was hard on my fragile male ego. I didn't want to keep playing and getting killed every week. I'd rather play someone who's close to me, you know, so we can battle it out. Ever get tired of losing? Have you ever made a mistake? Ever fallen? Ever feel beat up? When I was in grade school, there was a local church that let us neighborhood kids come in, and in this basement they had, and we memorized Bible verses. They'd give us candy bars. So it was a good trade. Well, before every meeting, we would line up, count off, one, two, and so they separate you from your friends, right? And each team goes the other side, and then they put these big red balls in the middle. You know what that's called? Dodgeball. Anybody love dodgeball? Gosh, I love dodgeball. And even in fifth, sixth, seventh grade, those years I spent at this little church, man, I couldn't wait to play dodgeball. And you know, there's always that kid who's bigger than the rest of us, and he's so self-confident. And he just, if he's running for the ball, to see how sometimes the ball's like right in the middle, and you want to run and get it, and if you see him going for it, you think twice. Because he's so confident. He's almost like overconfident and arrogant, and he just wants to destroy everybody, and you want to stay away from him. Life's got bullies, doesn't it? Dodgeball, I can just see so many similarities, analogies for life. Sometimes we feel like there's a bully always trying to knock us out. And then there's those certain group of kids, boys in this case, who once they said go, they blew the whistle, and we run to the center to get a ball. Certain kids would just go to the corner and just wait for you to throw the ball at them. If a ball came to them, they grab it, and they use it to defend themselves. Sooner or later, guess what happened? They'd be taken out. I think the Christian life can be like that. We hide. We love the Lord. We want to give our all to Him. But maybe we feel like we can never win. We can, every time we say something, it backfires, or we try to do something good and it hurts someone's feelings. Someone says something to us, and maybe there's an old wound festering inside us, and it feels like they just stuck their finger in it. It's happened to me. We hide. I get embarrassed, I guess, somewhat easily. This morning, I left the bulletin inserts on my desk, or right next to my desk, and I got here and I had to print them all. And I was like, nobody look at me. I had to reprint them all. It was kind of embarrassing. I want to hide when it happens. I want to, you know, my natural tendency is not to be vulnerable, not to talk about it. You know, as we look at 2 Timothy, Timothy was hiding in the corner. How do we know that? Well, because there's a 2 Timothy. There's a 1 Timothy, see? And Paul told Timothy in the first letter, he said, instruct the others, teach them, follow my instructions, man up, be a leader. See, Timothy's a young guy. And Paul wrote the second letter and said, Timothy, come out of the corner. Look at what he says in verse 5. Timothy. And that's point one, by the way. Come out of the corner. I'm reminded of your faith. I know you have faith, Timothy. You're in the corner. You love the Lord. What's going on? Come on out. A faith that first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. Timothy, I not only know your faith, I know your grandma. I know your grandma's faith that you saw role modeled for you. And I know your mom's faith that you saw role modeled for you. I know this. These things have been passed on to you. Parents, grandparents, don't give up hope. Your kid, your grandkid, God is at work in their life, even though you can't see it, even though it looks like they're going the wrong way on a one-way street. Paul says, I know your grandma. I know your mom. And I'm sure, he says, this same faith dwells in you. A lot of little churches like ours they're not making it. They're folding. Why? Lack of resources? Do they need more money? What's the problem in these churches? Studies are finding that, yeah, people don't like change, but there's lack of spiritual power. It doesn't take money. Of course it takes money, but it doesn't come from just money. It comes from spiritual power, people stepping up, people in the church who love the Lord that come forward. I'm reminded of Martin Luther King Jr., when he caused a revolution in our country. You know what he did? I should say, you know what he didn't do? He didn't go, you know, all you people that are racist, it's your fault. He didn't do that. He might have said that, but that wasn't his calling. He called on the people who knew better and said, you guys need to stand up and come forward. That was his call. It was passivity. This is a message I've heard through my life. Growing up with my father, who had this calling on his life. I remember reading on his desk, I was probably, when I first learned to read, I guess. He said, all that is necessary for the forces of evil to win in the world is enough good people or men to do nothing. You know, we read the paper, I heard people talk this morning about want people being trained to hurt Christians and politicians that seem, you don't even know where they're coming from. And the world just seems like it's sliding down a hill going into a pit, doesn't it? Sometimes, especially if you read the paper. Darkness seems to be on the move in our world without resistance. People seem to be moving further from God, further from the church, further from faith. I can almost hear the demons, the demonic legions laugh. Where is their help? Where is hope? Hope is in the Christian who gets back up, comes out of the corner. Maybe your background, you have things in your past, you're like, I'm not doing that. I've been hurt before. I'm not doing that. I've been divorced 4 times. I've had an abortion. I've cheated on my spouse. Whatever's in your background, we use these things and we hide in the corner. And there is grace and mercy and a calling on your life. When the Bible tells us to come out and be part of what God is doing, it's because He made you with a purpose. The church is the hope of the world. Not politics, not certain organizations. Jesus said, upon this testimony, Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. It will not stand against us. The church is the hope of the world. See, we're stuck in the corner, I think, sometimes because we worry about what God has already taken care of. We worry about things, how they're going to turn out. We worry about maybe how our kids will turn out. We worry about all these situations, and God has already got it taken care of. We just can't see it. Come out of the corner, Christian. Pastor, point two, God has given you a battle. When I was in seminary, there was a friend I hung out with. His name, well, he wasn't actually my friend, he was a friend of a friend. We both hung out with the same person, so we were often together at the same events, hanging out at the same places. And I'm in seminary studying apologetics, I'm studying about contextual criticism. I'm studying psychology, a little philosophy. I'm a Christian slant. Well, Job was getting his master's degree in philosophy at a secular school and was, let's just say, a little aggressive against Christianity. He had a real problem with it. And I thought, well, I'm Seminary Joe, bring it. Let's go. You know what we got, Joe? I was surprised what Joe's problem was. The problem with Christianity, he says, is that Christians put all their hope in heaven and don't do anything down here. They're so, what you've heard the saying, they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. We stay in the corner for different reasons. All of us got different reasons. But there's a battle for you that's right in front of you. I don't know what it is. God knows what it is, and you know what it is, because something in you is giving you a little elbow, a little push. Bring it to your mind. Well, someone should do something about that. But we're afraid. We get scared. So did Timothy. And that's why Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-control." Timothy, you're playing it safe in the corners. Think about that saying there. You have not given a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I remember the first time I remember quoting the Bible verse to myself. I was probably 20, 21 years old, and I volunteered to work with youth groups at a Christian camp. And I got put in this cabin with like 20 teenage boys. And I was new, and I was new to the Christian faith, and they knew it. Guess what they were going to do? They were going to run all over me. And I remember the lights went off. You know, there's strict rules at this camp. The lights went off. I laid in my bed, and I could hear a little talking. And all of a sudden, I hear footsteps going towards the door. You know what they were going to do. I stood up, I turned on the lights, I quoted that verse to myself. Then I said, "Where do you guys think you're going?" With the three ingredients, with love, with spiritual power, with self-control. I was tempted to take it personal. I was tempted to get angry. I was tempted to protect my ego. Well, the other leaders aren't going to think I'm very good if my kids are trying to sneak out. But by the grace of God, in this one instance, and believe me, that's why I'm sharing this one, because they weren't all success stories in youth ministry. Let me tell you. But in this instance, God gave you the grace. You have this spirit. What a trio. Power. How much power does God have? Is there limits? That Holy Spirit lives in you. Love. Wow, so you have power, and then you combine it with love, which means God, the Spirit helps you with your motives. Like, you want what's best for people. And self-control, sound mind, discipline, whatever your translation says, so that you can not act out, you can have impulse control. And if you're hurt and you're offended, you can respond well. For God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. God has not given you a spirit of fear. That's not from God. That's you in the way. He's given you a spirit of power, unlimited, love, supernatural, which helps you with the right motives, and self-control, no matter whatever baggage you have. God God has given you a battle to step into, and it's right in front of you. Maybe it's working in the church. Maybe it's working in the civil community. It's being a light into the world, Christian. Studies have shown that when people look back at their regrets, I'm not talking about things they wish they didn't say or things they wish they didn't do, but just regrets about the things in their life that mattered to them. Very few people regretted trying and failing. You know what they regretted? Not trying. Not stepping up. Not to do the very thing that's on their heart that they knew they were supposed to do. Paul wrote that in my weakness, even in our weakness, we're stronger. How can that be true? It's the power of the Holy Spirit. So what is our battle? Your battle is won by faith. It comes down to that. Faith draws grace like grace is a heat-seeking missile. Faith, what does that mean? I agree with all the right things. Well, the word in Greek has to do with trust. You trust that your past is gone, that it's wiped away. You trust that God's going to lead you. You trust because you pray about the things that worry you. We turn off our cell phones. We turn off our entertainment and our social media. And we trust that God has the answer for us and that we can hear it. Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:8 that he, Jesus, broke the power of death and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the good news. The battle has already been won. Do we trust it? Do we trust it? Let me give you an example. One of my children, I won't say which one, in their pre-adolescent years, when I would say, you need to do this, like, you need to turn off your phone by 9 p.m. Anyone been there? Anyone else? And your child says to you, well, all my friends are texting at that time. Well, back in those days, you had to hit each button like 3 times to get a letter out, but still, that's all they did. And why are you so mean? And, you know, I need reasons. I need reasons for this madness, Dad. And then everything inside of me wanted to scream. But by the power of God, I said, here's your reason. Because I'm your dad. And that's why. Do you know your dad? Do you trust him? You don't need new information. Yes, yeah, study the word. Get in Bible studies. Come hear the sermon. Listen to it on the internet. Take it in. Sit down and read your Bibles. But it's not about learning new information. That's only part of it. It's about knowing your dad in heaven, your heavenly father, and trusting in him. Can I hear an amen on this one? Come on. We have an amazing heavenly father. Our trust in him is the victory. In fact, it says in 1 John 5:4, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world. Your faith. That's what it says. You already have it. Now work it through. Your life is the legacy you leave. If you're a Eunice or Lois and you want to leave a legacy for your kids, show them a life of trusting God, even when you fall. Even when you fail, that you're a Christian who brings hope because you get back up.